I think whenever I'm marathon training, my favorite runs are the long runs. Sometimes I hate them. Sometimes I'm like, what is my problem? Why am I doing this? But usually I like love them.
Diz Runs Radio, episode 611 starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to Diz Runs Radio, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So if you're ready, then I'm ready. Let's get started. Hey guys, real quick before we dive into today's episode, just letting you know that if you're still in the market for signing up for a fall race, you know, maybe you want to get a little tune-up half marathon before your big goal marathon, or maybe you're just like kind of waiting until the last minute and be like, ah, you know, maybe I'll run a marathon this fall. Hopefully you've started training by that point, because supposedly fall is coming quickly right around the corner. I will be in Chattanooga, Tennessee on October the 21st. Running the Seven Bridges Marathon. My wife will be there. The darling Rebecca will be there running the half marathon, which I don't know, maybe the 3.5 bridges half marathon. I don't know how that math works out, how many bridges she gets to run across. I know I get to run across 7. She'll get to run across at least a few. But you can join us, and you can do so by saving a little bit of money by using the discount code DIZRUNS. If you're interested, if you're in the Southeast, and we've still got about 7 or 8 weeks to train and put the, you know, make sure that everything, you're ready to go. But we'd love to meet you. We'd love to have you there, see you, maybe buy you a drink after the race if you want to stick around. And we're going to plan on sticking around, making a long weekend out of it. So come and join us. 7bridgesmarathon.com is the website. That's the number 7, bridgesmarathon.com. Use the code DIZRUNS at checkout. Save yourself 10%. If you want to find out more about the race, go back in the archives just a couple of weeks, and you'll see the interview I did with Jay Nevins, who is the race director for the race. And he talks all about the race, kind of what makes it unique, why it's fun, what things to do in Chattanooga while you're there. So let me know if you're planning on coming. Make sure you use the discount code again, Diz Runs at checkout, and hopefully we can meet up. Like I said, we're gonna make a weekend out of it. We're planning to be there, get there on Friday, leave on Sunday. So we got Saturday and Sunday. Races Sunday morning. So let me know if you're gonna be there. 7bridgesmarathon.com. And now let's go ahead and dive in to today's episode of the show. Hey guys, today I'm running with a lady that I've been trying to connect with for a while, and who I've had to cancel on more times than I actually care to count or to admit. But thankfully, she's been more than willing to reschedule, and we're finally able to make this chat happen. We originally connected through Team Momentum, which is the charity running component of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. Easy for me to say. And that's kind of where we connected. We've been connected there for a few years now. And without any further ado, and before I can actually cancel on her again, it's my pleasure to finally be able to welcome Miss Emily Garcia to the show. Thanks for joining us today, Emily. Really, really appreciate you taking the time, and looking forward to finally making this happen.
Me too. Super happy to talk to you.
Yeah. And guys, if you haven't connected to Emily, and if you're in Team MDA, you probably are already connected. But if you enjoy the conversation today and you want to connect with her and maybe find out more about Team MDA as well, on Instagram, probably the best place, and it's at Figures of Sleep, F-I-G-U-R-E-S, yeah. Of Sleep. Just like it sounds. Maybe we'll get into what that's all about. Who knows? We'll see where the conversation takes us. But that's probably the best place. And as you know, as always, we'll have that linked up in the show notes. And today's link for the show notes is dizruns.com/611. It'll take you right there. Obviously, we'll have the brief recap of everything we talk about today, some links, and we'll have everything linked up there to connect with Emily as well. So, Emily, without any further ado, the way we always start off the show, start off the conversation, is with a very simple question that for some folks is a pretty simple question to answer, and for some folks the answer is quite a bit more difficult, or at least you know, there's too many choices to sometimes nail it right down. But that's just to simply ask, what is your favorite distance to race and why?
You know, I was thinking about that, and it's the marathon. I love the marathon because of the mental fortitude and grit that it takes to get through it. I feel like every time I run a marathon, I learn a lot about myself. And it's funny because I don't run very many short races. Like, I don't run very many 5Ks. It's usually like a turkey trot thing, like with family. But the few times I have read one, I'm like, oh man, it's over already. Maybe I should do these more, but I never do. It never sticks. It's usually just like, I end up running 5Ks more when I have like a friend or a family member, somebody who's like newer to running and they want to get into a race. And I'm like, yeah, let's run a 5K. Let's do it. And so it's usually running with somebody else. But it's definitely the marathon. I love settling into a run. I think I usually start to feel comfortable around mile 7 or 8. So yeah.
Go long and just get out there and cruise, sounds like.
Yeah. And again, like I think whenever I'm marathon training, my favorite runs are the long runs. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I hate them. Sometimes they're like,
right.
Sometimes I'm like, what is my problem? Why am I doing this? But usually I like love them. And I feel like they have just like taught me to be okay with being in my own head. Mm-hmm. And I do listen to your podcast on my run sometimes, which is cool.
Well,
marathon.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And if you listen to the show, you know that the half marathon tends to be one of the more common answers. And it always kind of, I think I kind of perk up a little bit when somebody says the marathon, because I kind of think that's my favorite distance. Maybe not my best distance all the time, but the struggles, the challenge, the training, like you said, the mental stuff. It's a whole ball of wax when you're out there going 26.2 miles.
Oh, absolutely. It's just like a different ball game.
Mm-hmm.
So I love it. And I like the half marathon too. I just think that I don't do them very often.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it is great because it still challenges you in like a distance way, but you can race it a little bit faster and doesn't take quite as much out of you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's and every distance, you know, as would be expected, you know, not trying to shut out anybody who tends to be more of a 5K, 10K type of person, but every distance has its perks. Every distance has its challenges. And, you know, that's the beautiful thing about the running community is we can all have, you know, we all are under the same umbrella, but you know, we all have our own little preferences and things like that, as far as distances, paces, all that good stuff. You know, with being somebody who really enjoys the marathon and doesn't, kind of like you said, doesn't tend to race much else. How'd you get into the sport? Was it something that running has always been part of your life and you just kind of kept graduating up until you kind of settled in at 26.2, or how'd you find this crazy little passion that we all have?
So that's like the funny thing is that it was definitely not always a part of my life. And I didn't start running till I was 19. And then I would run just a few miles and I didn't know anything about running. So I'd run 2 miles and I would run it as hard as I could. And I would be like, this is miserable. This is, you know, like, what am I doing? I started running more heavily after my son was born. I had him when I was 21 and I started running more for like mental, like clarity, because having a kid, I know like you have a daughter, you know, that it just kind of changes your world upside down. You're sleeping less. Mm-hmm. You've got a whole nother human that relies on you. And so I started running more just to kind of get back into shape after he was born. And, I would tell my husband, I'd be like having a rough day and I'm like, I'm going to go for a run. I'll be back a better person. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of slowly, like I ran an 8K for my first race. And then I was like, oh, well, I want to run a 10K now. And then from a 10K, I was like, man, do I want to run a half marathon? I don't know. That's like a lot of training and I've got a kid and that, you know, then I ran the half marathon. And then I was just like, I think I want to run a marathon. And yeah, so it just kind of, it started that way. And I think when I became a coach, I remember, sometimes feeling a little inferior because I didn't do cross country or track in high school or college. I didn't have that background. It was a newer developed thing in adulthood. But I think that's silly to feel that like inferior because like everybody starts somewhere. Right. And I feel like it came at a time in my life that I really needed it. So I actually look back, growing up, and I was not very athletic. I played soccer at a youth center in middle school, and there were like two teams. It wasn't super competitive. Like they didn't even officially keep score. Mm-hmm. We kept score,
right.
But it wasn't like official. You know what I mean? And I was always playing defense. I could never play offense because I would get winded. I wasn't very good. I just like, I had fun, but you know, after I was like 14, I was like done with it. Mm-hmm. Tried basketball. That was, I don't know. I'm not very good. I'm not very coordinated. And then also playing like a team sport where like your team is relying on you to be adequate. Yeah. So I think back to that and I'm like, man, like I wish that I had an outlet when I was like a kid for like a running program that wasn't like competitive except for like with yourself,
right.
And personal growth. So that's actually something that's like on my mind about like developing a program like that for kids, kind of like Girls on the Run mm-hmm. has like a similar, concept. So,
right.
That's kind of like an end goal for me. Because I think I would have benefited a lot from that, but it just like, you know, I didn't, there was nothing like it. No outlets.
Right.
So.
Right. When you kept bumping up to the next distance, any idea of it maybe in hindsight more so than in the moment, but what was the allure of the next thing? Was it just pushing yourself to see if it was something you could do? Was there a little bit of that competitiveness going on because it was just yourself as opposed to that team and the extra added pressure or something else maybe that kind of led you down the path to finally settling in and at least getting to the marathon distance?
I think it was just like every time I ran a race at a higher distance, I was just like, oh my gosh, I just did that. Hmm. Like, and I actually was maybe somewhat miserable, but I wasn't miserable the whole time. And the feeling, you know, and like the payoff, like, you know, the endorphin high after and like that feeling of accomplishment. It was just like, well, I think maybe I need to like try the new thing, the next thing. Mm-hmm. And it was just, it was like, I think, it was just one of those things where, I was just kind of surprising myself and just was like, wow, I like want that next challenge. And I don't know. I think I'm one of those people that like, I like manual labor. Mm. And I think that connection with like the physical, I don't know, it just like, it does something for me. So it was really just like, wow, okay, I think I can do this. I can now do that. So yeah, that's just kind of how it went.
Gotcha. So then the most obvious follow-up question in the history of follow-up questions, any, thoughts of dabbling farther than marathon distance and trying your hand at the ultra distance races?
Yeah, I mean, so my sister Lindsay, who coaches with me with Team Momentum, she is actually doing her first 35 mile race this Saturday in Colorado, and it's funny because she and I always like when one of us does something, the other person's like, I want to do that, and then we just keep growing. I remember when I ran my first half marathon. She like immediately signed up for one like 5 weeks later. And then I ran that with her and it was just, and she was the one who signed me up for my first race. So we've just always kind of like encouraged each other, whether like we're intentionally encouraging each other or by our actions and what we're accomplishing on our own. And so she's running that. And so it's funny cause, I've trained with her some, so some of my mileage has been a little higher earlier in the summer, just because yeah. She's like, we have to go to the woods and run for 4 hours. And so I'm like, okay, I guess we're doing that. But I think I definitely want to increase my mileage. But honestly, being around her and seeing that time and dedication it's taking her, I'm just like, I'm not ready for that in my mm-hmm. life at this moment. But down the road, yeah, it's definitely in the cards. I just don't know when. I just have to feel like, yeah, this is a good time where I like feel like I can put that time and effort into it and feel like good about it.
Gotcha.
So,
yeah. And the beauty is of any running endeavor is that it's not going anywhere. So if it's not the right time right now for you with life and all the things that are going on to, like you said, to put in that level of training and dedication, then, you know, kick the can down the road because it's not, you know, the opportunities will never not be there. At least I don't foresee any time in the future that they won't be there. So, you know, when it fits better, that's when you go after it.
Right. And I think that that's something that I have to like learn too, is just like, to be patient with that. Mm-hmm. I was listening to your tips about like running for life or, for a long time, your like 10 tips. And I was like, man, I like, these are so on point. I like totally relate with that. And that's something that I have to remind myself, like, it doesn't have to happen now. If right. somebody else is doing it now and I like look at them and I'm like, that's awesome, I want to do it, I can just be like excited for them and just wait until I'm ready to do it. And it doesn't have to be like all in, you know what I mean? Like right now. And that, I think that's the beauty of it, is that hopefully I have the rest of my life to run and, accomplish different things and try different things out. It's not going anywhere.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I guess to kind of just piggybacking on that line of thought is, you know, like you said, just don't be afraid to celebrate other people and what they're doing, and,
right.
and it can plant the seed for you. And we don't always have to go longer and faster, even though I know that drives a lot of folks is what the next thing is, pushing the next limit. But sometimes pushing the limit means let's hold still with running, because there's other areas in life that need more attention. So, I'm happy to hear you have said that, you know, the answer is yes, I plan to do it, but I don't know when, and be okay with that, as opposed to a lot of folks who are like, yes, next, or no way, this is good enough. We, one or the other, but it's okay to be in the middle there and just kind of see how things play out.
Absolutely. I think with running, the thing that I've learned is that there are just so many, just as in life, there are different seasons in running. Mm. And when you can accept what season you're in, and then like the happier you're going to be and the longer you're probably going to run without burnout. And it's just the same for like my future goals. Like that's not the season for me right now. Sometimes the seasons in my training, I had, it was last summer, I had just gotten back. I took a little hiatus from running. My mom, a couple summers ago, she got sick and she had cancer, and it was just like very abrupt. And it was like from the end of June, and she passed away in September. We were just like, I was driving back and forth. I live in Chicago and I grew up in a suburb called Joliet. It's like an hour south of Chicago. And I was driving back and forth from Chicago to Joliet all the time and caring for my mom and staying there. And I was just so burnt out. And I had a marathon that I was like signed up for, but I didn't have the time to train. So I lowered to the half marathon and ran it with my brother. And then I went through a lot of like grief, and I took off time from running and getting back into it after like a little hiatus was kind of hard, because I see people around me just like accomplishing these like amazing race goals and they're doing so well in their training. And for me, I had to be like, hey, I need to like reacquaint myself with the love of running just for running. And that's the season I'm in. And I'm not going to worry about those things. And maybe I'm going to set my watch for like an hour and I'm going to go out and run, and I'm not going to like check my pace or check my time. I'm just going to go and refine that like connection. And, so I think like, I feel like it has a lot to do with like patience. I don't know. So,
I agree. There's so many, you know, you can pick your various metaphors, you can pick your ways of saying it, but I think it all comes back to, you know, just being real and honest with yourself. And if you're at a point where adding more to your plate is going to be a negative than a positive, then you need to pull back. And you know, it can be in a variety of areas. And for most of us that don't run professionally, you know, that might be an easy one to pull back, because it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of energy and effort and focus. And there's so many things that go into it that pulling back a little bit is okay. And you know, I love the seasons analogy a bit, even though, I'll be honest, I kind of struggle with some metaphors sometimes, but you know, for whatever reason, it struck me today that, you know, the seasons, like, it's not like it's just one, you know, our life or our running life is one year. So, you got to do it when you can. And if you pull back, that's it. It's just like a regular calendar year where there's those times when it's, you know, spring and summer and things are going good. And then there's, you know, there may be a time where you, where it's winter and you pull back a little bit, don't run at all or run very little or run purely for fun as opposed to worrying about times and paces and splits and races and all that kind of stuff. And then eventually there's another spring and you get to work back towards it again. So, you know, again, kind of almost like what we just talked about a few minutes ago with people always, and I've been guilty of this in the past too, of always wanting to go farther or faster or whatever. Sometimes, you know, back off a little bit and it's okay. It doesn't make you less of a runner. It doesn't make you anything other than human, which is something we all are anyway.
Yep, absolutely. So, and I think go ahead.
No, you go right ahead.
I think it kind of like, so I feel like runners can be so, like you said, like, it's like you're focused on your pace and you're focused on what's next and whatever, which is what makes us succeed. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, and keeps us going harder and doing difficult things and like running that 5K at outrageous paces that like I could never imagine doing. But I think the thing that I found is to take a step back and to not, because like, I feel like, to not like totally identify myself, like all encompassed as a runner. And that's just like a part of me, a big part of me. And I feel like when, I'm able to do that, then it's like, it's so much easier to let go of things at certain times and just say, this is not the time for it right now. And that's okay. And that doesn't make me any less of a runner. It doesn't make me any less of a coach or anything like that. And I feel like, I don't know. I feel like it's helped me continue to like love it without being so burnt out. So.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I've talked about burnout before a few times. I've dabbled with it myself as far as maybe being a little bit too far into the weeds sometimes. So I think it's good things to remember. A very good thing to remember is not let your identity be too tied up in your running. Because yeah, like it's something we do, but we also do a half a dozen other things on a regular basis as well. So, you know, if you have to, like, again, continue to beat the theme, but if you have to pull back once in a while, it's okay. It's okay. Running's going to be there. And when you're ready to go back into it or refocus on it a bit more, you just pick up and keep going. And you might have to build back a little bit of fitness, but so what? Like, you know, you're happy, you're excited, you're looking forward to it. It'll come. It'll come. So shifting gears a little bit, Emily, talking about, MDA and being part of Team Momentum. Where did that connection of, you know, kind of getting into running, you know, a bit more seriously after your son was born and kind of figuring out as you go. How did you get to the point of, hey, let's run for a charity and raise some money and eventually become part of the group, part of the coaching staff and, you know, a very active member in the group. Where did that connection come from?
So, I actually ran my first marathon with them. It kind of helped prompt me, to do it. So, my oldest brother had a form of muscular dystrophy and he passed away when I was 18. Mm. And I was the youngest and he was the oldest. So growing up, I didn't know as much about how the Muscular Dystrophy Association helped my family. They provided a lot of like services for him and like actual tangible needs like wheelchairs and a hospital bed, clinical exams, things like that. And so I would always think of my brother often when I would run because he would be that type of a person who would be at the race, like so excited and cheering for you, you know, or that person who couldn't walk, but would like love to run a race. And so, when I was like trying to decide, like, do I take on this like marathon? I was like, I'm going to run for the Muscular Dystrophy Association. And it just clicked and it just made sense. And it happened to be their first inaugural year as like an official charity. So it's cool because I've been able to like be a part of the team from the beginning. So it was super awesome to be a part of the team. And my brother is what got me started with them, but I met so many amazing families and kids and individuals who were running for their kids or for their brother or for a friend. And I had never seen so many people in that community. I didn't really know anybody else who had muscular dystrophy growing up. And they're just so inspiring. And it was just so incredible to meet these individuals and be a part of their lives. So that's how I got involved. And right around that time, I was like, man, like, I want to be a coach. Like, I think that that makes a lot of sense for me. So I pursued certifications and was hired on first as an assistant coach with them. And now I am one of two coaches for the Chicago Marathon with them. And it's just been such an awesome opportunity because I can give back in a really special way to an organization that like means so much to me mm-hmm. and my family. And it just gives extra meaning to my coaching work. So yeah, that's how that started.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So a couple of things that kind of came to my head through there, and we'll see if I get to both or three of them. I can't remember if exactly two or three, kind of how we'll see how it plays out, of course. But, you know, earlier when we were talking about kind of your childhood and not having, you know, a running component to it and trying some team sports and it just wasn't really your thing. And then I hear you, you know, I don't know if I'm going to do this marathon, and you decide to sign up for it and do it as part of Team Momentum. Was there any team dynamic? Like, yes, you're running for, you know, I mean, it's an individual thing. You're running, you know, the race. But you know, knowing what I know about the group and being, you know, kind of a part of it from afar and helping out as necessary here and there. I mean, that group, at least now, maybe it wasn't so much the case in the early days, but right now, I mean, it is a team.
It is. Was
there any, I don't know, pressure or what was it? Did it feel like a team back then? And was that something that was, I don't know, difficult for you or something that you struggled with? Or was it just, was it so completely different? And because it was a individual sport anyway, that some of those struggles and issues you had in team sports as a kid, you know, were they present, I guess is what I'm trying to ask in that situation for you?
No, they're not present at all because, at least if you go to like a group run, you're in like a pace group, right? Mm. So you're in, I mean, I remember at first being intimidating and being like, what if like people are running like these 7-minute mile long runs? Like I can't do that. But then you just find people who run the same pace as you. And it's a supportive environment but it's not a competitive environment and you're all doing your own thing. So we have so many people of all different running walks, on the team. We have some people who are, like 7-minute mile racers and some who are like 12-minute mile. And so I think one of the things that I loved about the group and that as a coach, I still try to cultivate is that community and that sense of like, we're all here with the same goal, working our butts off and just like supporting each other and just cultivating that like, community where it doesn't matter where you're at in your journey. It's all worthwhile and we're all here to support each other. And that's very different for me than like playing basketball where my teammates are like counting on me to like make a basket and right. like to like get the ball to them or you know what I mean? Like, so it's like a little bit different because your fundraising goals are your own and your race pace is your own, but you're still all together. And there's like a lot of camaraderie in that. So mm-hmm. I think that that's like my ideal team as someone who is a little bit competitive, but like, I'm not super, super competitive. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it totally does. And I think that, you know, I think that really just, I mean, it is to me, that's the running community, you know, and yeah. whether it's, working towards a goal with a charity or whether that's just the community at large, you know, we all kind of have each other's back and we're there to support, but at the same time, like you do you and I'll do me and we'll, you know, we'll both have, you know, we'll get to the finish line and we'll have a beer together or we'll have a burger or whatever it is. You know, however long it takes you, however long it takes me, like it's no big deal. We're going to run our races, do our things, but we're still in this together. And obviously, In the Team Momentum case, there's even more of that team component because of the common good that everybody's trying to work towards with their fundraising, their racing, and all those kinds of things.
Absolutely, you're right. It is totally true of the running community too, which is awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
So
Yeah. Another thing that you mentioned is with your brother and you know that he was had a muscle disease and you know when he passed and it was a good way for you to kind of get in, you know, honor him and keep his memory a bit of alive and do something for the cause, because like you said that MDA had done so much for your family and now you know kind of try to pay it forward a bit. And I'm curious to hear your perspective on this. I kind of think I have an idea where you might go with it, but I'll still ask. And that's how important is it in your mind and in your perspective for someone who is going to run for a charity to have a real tie to it? Because, you know, I mean, there's so many great charities out there and I think so many people, runners and non-runners, would love to be able to, or would love to be able to give back more and do things to help, you know, this group and that group and all of the people that are in need in our country and around the world. But that said, I mean, we can't do everything. So if you're going to do something, do you think it's beneficial for you? And if so, why, to really, you know, kind of focus your efforts on something that really has that personal connection?
I think it goes two ways, because I think if you have something in your life that means so much to me, whether it be a cure for AIDS or like you've lost somebody to cancer or just like, or with what we have, there's so many World Vision runners who, you know, their goal is to like bring clean water to communities that don't have it. And so I think if there's something you're passionate about, I think tapping into that definitely helps, because when the miles get tough and you're thinking about like why you're doing it and that cause, I think it really helps. Mm-hmm. And I know for me, it would help. But on the flip side of that, we actually have so many amazing people on our team that they initially joined the team because maybe a friend asked them to, or they just needed an entry to the marathon and they just joined the charity, that have like, they have found an amazing connection through it and what they're doing because it's such an amazing community inside. So I think, and like they continue, there's so many people that continue to run with us that they initially didn't have a connection and now they are so connected and, they have found so much meaning in it. So I think it could go, both ways. But I think running for a charity is like a super awesome, way to, especially if it's like your first marathon or you just are like, man, I've ran so many marathons before or half marathons and I want to do something a little bit bigger than myself. It's an awesome experience. It's such a great way to put your healthy body towards a good cause.
Yeah. And I want to touch on that a bit more in a second, as far as maybe some ideas for raising money and things like that. Cause you know, it's always been kind of something that I've struggled with when I thought about doing a charity race, and it's still on my list of things that I think I'm going to do at some point, but it, you know, at some point, everything's on your list at some, you're going to do at some point, and maybe I need to take more action on it. But before we do that and kind of get maybe, you know, more into charity running in general, I'd just love to take a second and talk about, the MDA more specifically, because I feel like, and again, maybe this is showing my ignorance a little bit here as well, but there's so many different muscle diseases that fall under the umbrella of what you all do at the Muscular Dystrophy Association that sometimes maybe we don't recognize the various things that fall under that umbrella, as opposed to, you know, if you're going to support the American Cancer Society, well, it's like there's this type of cancer and there's that type, and everything has cancer in the name, basically. So you know, all right, like, oh yeah, I had a grandma that had, you know, whatever, colon cancer or liver cancer or whatever, and oh, it falls under that category. And I just kind of don't think, at least in my mind, and at least the connections that I've drawn, that it's quite that same recognition when it comes to muscle disease. So what are some of the maybe more common types of muscle disease that you know would fall under the umbrella of what, you know, y'all at Team Momentum and at the MDA in as a greater whole work towards, you know, helping support the families and the people that have those diseases and things like that?
Yeah, you're right. There's like, I think like we cover like 50 diseases, and a lot of them I'm not super familiar with. But ALS is a well-known disease, and SMA, Duchenne's, Those are all a lot more well-known diseases, and I think they have them on the website. There's like, I can't remember a lot of the names of them, but they're pretty much if it's muscle related. And there are some that there's like so many varying degrees of muscle disease. Like there are people who are in wheelchairs, and then there are people who can still walk, and it's their muscle disease. You can't see it as externally as others. But I think most people don't realize that ALS is one that's covered under muscular dystrophy.
Gotcha. And for if people are interested in, you know, finding out more, maybe joining a team, or maybe, you know, or joining the team, or maybe running, you know, a different race other than the ones that you guys are more associated with, but still running under the umbrella. Is there what's the website where they can find that information out and potentially sign up and raise a little money for you guys? Yeah, so I didn't mean for that to be a difficult question. And Emily, you know, gave me a link, but it was kind of one of those sloppy links with a bunch of numbers and dashes and dots and things like that. And afterward, we figured out that there's actually a real simple URL that you can use, which would just be mdateam.org. So real simple, mdateam.org. Certainly direct folks there if you're interested in finding out more, maybe joining up. You know, they got some big races. You know, Chicago is a big one. I remember Marine Corps is on the list, maybe New York as well.
Yep, New York, Boston. Boston's a harder one to get into. But yeah, Marine Corps is on my list of ones to do.
Yeah, definitely. I've never heard really anything bad about the race itself. I've heard logistics can be a little bit of a mess sometimes, but that's any big city marathon. Logistics can be a mess on occasion. So, but yeah, I've heard that's a pretty darn good race. So, you know, it's on your list. There you go. Get signed up. Maybe not this year. Maybe you're running out of time this year, but you know, again, there's always next year.
Definitely. It's definitely on my list. And if anybody's interested, you know, message me on Instagram or visit the link and stuff. And we have a lot of fun, so come run with us.
Yeah, definitely. shifting again a little bit more broad about charity running in general, because like I said earlier, I feel like that's one of those areas where you know, one of the main things that's holding me back is that idea of raising the money and asking folks for money to support the cause, whatever cause it might be. And I got a feeling that maybe there's a few people listening that are maybe in that same boat. So, you know, from your perspective, I mean, you've done this before. You're working with them as part of you know, part of the coaching staff for the running side of things. But I know you guys have to be talking about the fundraising side of things as well.
Mm-hmm.
What are some ways to maybe make that process a bit easier if somebody's not if that's the hurdle to get over is the fundraising component? What are some things that you've seen from your experience that can maybe help make that a little bit of an easier pill to swallow to get signed up for a charity and run a race for a cause?
I think a few things. Team Momentum has mentors, fundraising mentors who are specifically there. They're assigned to, like, each person when they sign up is assigned a fundraising mentor. And those people, they have very, very successfully raised lots of money, and they are there to kind of help you come up with different ideas. I think one of the best ways is, like, social media can be an awesome outlet, and emailing people and just, like, talking to them and, like, telling them, like, what you're doing and that you're so excited about it. And even things like, I'm so excited that I get to, like, run and raise money for this charity. And I think when people see that you're excited about it and that you're putting work into it, they want to support you and they want to support that cause, because people love being generous. And I think that's something that I had to kind of learn, because I totally identify with you. Fundraising, like, it can be very intimidating to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I found that usually you'll be really surprised at people's generosity. And most charities, they'll have tools to help you set up, like, a fundraising page and help give you guidelines and ways to, like, talk about what your organization does. And I just think that, like, reaching out to people and just being like, hey, this is what I'm doing. And like I said, I'm super excited about it. And most people are are like happy to support you if they can. And I think you'll be surprised. Like, I remember being surprised, being like, oh my goodness, like, how did I raise $700 already? You know? And one of the cool things that you can do, at least with our charity, is that you can be on a team with other participants. So say you have a few friends and you're like, hey, let's make our own little team in the team, mm-hmm. and all your fundraising kind of pools together. So if you have a fundraising minimum and like you're like $20 under yours, but someone is a little bit over, that can like fall into your like right. fundraising. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So which that helps. So mm-hmm. I totally understand it. And I think that I feel like I've been regularly surprised at how happy people are to be generous and to support someone who's working hard to raise money for a good cause. But with the internet, we have so many tools at hand. Mm-hmm. And I know that at least with our charity, they do a really good job at equipping you with tools to do that.
Gotcha. So, yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like it's just one of those, just like anything else. You know, if you sign up and take the plunge, just like training for the marathon. I mean, you know, if you're not sure you can handle that, I think, you know, most folks listening to this are runners of some level, so that, you know, it's maybe not quite as scary as somebody who doesn't run much, but, you know, they've got the, you know, Team Momentum and probably most of the other bigger charities that do these types of things. They have some resources in place to help you get there with the physical side. They also have the resources there to help you get there with the fundraising side as well. So, you know, stop using it as an excuse, talking to myself mostly here. Stop using it as an excuse and just do it already.
Yeah. And I've also seen some really awesome fundraising events that people have put on, which is they'll get super creative with it. Like, I don't know if you call it cornhole or bags. You know the game where you throw mm-hmm. the bags into the hole? Yep. I call it bags, and someone on the team called it cornhole, and I was like, what is that? I don't know. But they had a fundraising event, and they had bags there, and you can get creative and be like, you have to pay $5 to play a game. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And you can make it interactive and find ways for people to even donate that are really fun, and they can also get to know more about the charity at that event and stuff. So there's a lot of different creative things you can do. And again, like mentors and different people on the team can like help with cultivate those ideas.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's and yeah, I mean, just do it already. Talking again, not if you feel guilty, if you feel like I'm talking
it.
To you, maybe I am, but I'm certainly saying that to me as well. Like just, you know, There's no good excuse. Give it a shot, and you know, as you know very well, Emily, the rewards and the benefits are there in a big way as far as the connection, the you know, the people you'll meet, the, you know, working towards a common goal. It's pretty rewarding from what I can tell from being part of the group, and so, you know, just do it already.
Do it. And the other amazing thing about being on a charity is that you have so many people there on the course that like you will run into and they're wearing your charity shirt. Mm-hmm. And it's like, there's like camaraderie and it's like this, like, I can't explain like how amazing it is to be like at mile like 20 and you're in misery and you see a teammate and there's like, you're like high-fiving each other and you're encouraging each other. And it's like those little things go such a long way when you are like depleted and running, And like, there's so many people on like on the sidelines cheering for you, and just the actual race day support is like beyond explainable. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, if you've ever run a big race before that has a big time charity component, you know that the spectators that are out, you know, they're a lot of them are out there for, you know, their friends and family of people that are running the race for that cause. So yeah, you need that extra little pick me up at whatever mile 18, 20, 22, something like that. And your friends and family maybe can't be at every single place, but when you're part of the greater team or group or whatever, you're probably going to get some extra cheering sections along the way.
Oh yeah. And if you take everything you can get.
Yes. Absolutely. So as we're getting close to wrapping up today, Emily, One thing that you mentioned earlier and, you know, kind of got lost in the shuffle, but we'd love to go back to that, is the mental benefits that running can bring you. I feel like I've felt them quite often as well. But we'd just love to at least touch on that for a minute. As far as, you know, I think a lot of maybe a lot of non-runners especially think of running as such a thing that we can do for our physical health. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of us that are runners know that it's something that we can do for our mental health as well. What has running done for you on the mental side of the coin? As far as, you know, whatever, like you said earlier, you tell your husband, I gotta go out and get a few miles in, I'll come back a better person. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. You know, how is that? Obviously it's something that has played out for you, but you know, was that a benefit that you figured would be there right away? Or did you just, you know, discover it along the way, or kind of, how does that mental piece of it and the mental benefits of running, play out in your experience as a runner?
I definitely did not anticipate it being that mentally difficult. It was something that I learned along the way, and I feel like slowly with time has made me stronger, because it's one of the things that it's taught me is to deal with adversities, right? Mm-hmm. So you're out on a long run and you're uncomfortable, and you know, you're in your head the whole time, and right. You're just like, oh man, this and that, and like, my feet feel like this, and oh, I'm tired, and maybe I should just turn around. I don't know if I should turn around. I should keep, you know, and you're just in that headspace. And for me, sometimes my headspace was not always the best place to be. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of taught me how to take adversities with stride and to be able to also like learn to encourage myself and to have confidence in myself and to be my biggest cheerleader, because I feel like running, I mean, we always say this, and we say this to our runners, that like distance running and even non-distance running, there's such a mental component to it. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people go into, they'll go into their long runs and they're like distressed with how much of a mental struggle it is. And so as coaches, we always try to be super real about things. Even if it's a little bit uncomfortable, like mm-hmm. we always want to share our experiences and perspectives and, how, and like our struggles. But I think I started running more and finding that it helped me with like anxiety. And sometimes I would be able to like go and like run and like feel so much more at peace. And one of the other biggest things is that it's taught me patience, because I feel like, in those long miles, there are just so many things with yourself, like external things, whether it be physical or like mental, that you just have to just say, okay, like I'm going to take this like feeling or this, discomfort with patience, and know that like, maybe it will go away and I'm not going to fret about it. And, I'm just going to take it with stride. So I definitely think that, it's helped me a lot in that way. And to just to take things head on and to not let them freak me out, but also, just like accept them. Mm-hmm. Accept the discomfort, because so many things in life are going to be hard or are hard. And, if we can just kind of take it one step at a time and accept it, then it's not going to like shake us so much. So I mean, it definitely has like taught me to not be hard on myself and to encourage myself, because if you're out on a run and you're just like, man, I'm such a bad runner. Like, why am I so uncomfortable? And like this and that. And you know, everybody is there. Like I went out on a run a couple weeks ago and I was like, what is wrong with my legs? I don't think I know how to run. I don't think, what am I doing? And that can like break you. Mm-hmm. But if you can just say, hey, no, you can do this. It's okay that you feel tired. Of course you're going to feel tired. It's okay that you're uncomfortable or feeling this way. This doesn't define you. And talk like, be that friend that's like affirming you, but you're doing it for yourself. And so I think that's like a huge benefit, and I've definitely benefited from that.
Gotcha. And I think that somewhere in there you answered about three of the most common philosophical questions. So maybe, but I'm not gonna skip over. I was thinking maybe we'll just skip over that and wrap things up. But I'm gonna ask you maybe something that kind of ties up. Hopefully at least ties up a little bit of some of the things you just said and obviously some of the things that we've talked about before, but it's kind of the maybe the most simple of the philosophical questions, which sometimes that can be dangerous because it can also be one of the most difficult ones to answer, kind of like the introductory question. But you know, at this point, being part of Team MDA, you know, seeing some of the mental benefits and things that have you know, that running has done for you from that side of the coin, the physical side of the coin, the helping other folks out with that are dealing with muscle disease and things like that, Why do you still run? Why is running other than all of those great reasons that we just talked about? But you know, why is running still such a big part of your life?
Well, you're right. It's one of the simple questions, but maybe one of the most difficult questions. I just think like I love it, and I hate it sometimes too, but I mostly love it, and I think it makes me feel like alive and at peace. And it just feels like something that just needs to be in my life. I feel like it makes me a better person. And, you know, endorphins. yeah, I guess other than all the things I just said before, maybe that's the simplest way to explain it. It feels good. Even sometimes it doesn't feel good, but like, that's okay.
Right. No, that's perfect. And I don't think I've ever heard anybody say it that way. And I don't know that I could agree more. So I'm going to wrap that up, or I'm going to let that be the way that we wrap this thing up. So, Emily, once again, thank you for taking the time today. Thanks for, being so flexible along the way with the various reasons that I've had to cancel, mostly related to family, which I think we all can understand that sometimes, you know, kids get sick or this, that, or the other, and you got to bounce things around. But, appreciate your time and the time today, the friendship that we've started to foster online before this point. And hopefully that will continue to grow. And as always, guys, once again, if you want to check out anything from today's episode, disruns.com/611. If you got questions about Team Momentum in particular, Emily's a good lady to talk to at Figures of Sleep on Instagram. We'll have things linked up to the Team Momentum website as well through the MDA, disruns.com/611. So Emily, thanks again for the time today. Certainly wish you nothing but the best going forward. Have a great, great Chicago race weekend this year. Hopefully everything is very successful, and certainly looking forward to staying in touch and seeing what the future holds for you, but nothing but the best going forward.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. It's been such a pleasure.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode of the show. Hope that you enjoyed the conversation between Emily and myself. And as always, I'd be curious to know, what stood out to you from this episode? What was something we talked about that resonated just a little bit more strongly with you today? Love hearing those takeaways. So can't wait to hear what you have to say. For me, I think that what really stood out to me was the idea of accepting that there's different times in life, different seasons, I think is how Emily said it. But different times where running is going to be maybe more important or more at the forefront of your life. And there's going to be times that it maybe needs to take a little bit of a back seat. And that's okay. That's okay. And it's tough for us as runners to embrace the idea of not running for a while, or maybe dialing way back, not racing for a year or 6 months or something like that. But it's not a bad thing to do that. It's not a bad thing to take a little bit of a break in whatever form that looks like for you. Maybe that is no running at all. Maybe that's cutting back in half the number of days that you normally would run. Like I said, maybe that's no races and just running for fun and just training, building your base. Maybe that's kind of mentoring a local runner in your area that's new to the sport, and you kind of go back to maybe doing, you know, some really short runs, maybe like a couch to 5K almost type of thing, working with a friend and get them into the sport and just put the focus on something different besides yourself and your performance. Focus on helping another runner and doing that, embracing some of those changes, those seasons, if you will, is a great way to rejuvenate things for yourself. You know, and you look at the metaphor of seasons and why it's such a common metaphor, you know, because things die back in the winter and then in the spring they come back to life. It rejuvenates and it grows and blossoms and you know, It's alive and thriving, but it needs that downtime. Those plants and the earth and the animals and the environment needs that little break to recharge. And sometimes we do as well. And I know some folks that are streakers that have been running for years and they have no desire to take any time off at all. There's people like me that have no desire to take a long period of time off, but you know, we have to have our normal days off during the week. But I just start to wonder if maybe it wouldn't be beneficial for myself to maybe in the next year or so plan a month where I just don't run. Not because I'm burned out, not because I'm trying to take a break away, but just to kind of rejuvenate, to have a winter. And I might take my winter in the summertime since summer in Florida, not the greatest time to run, but that's neither here nor there. But anyway, just the idea of seasons and being okay with not running for a while. Maybe it's something, you know, like Emily talked about, loss of a family member. And that shifts your focus for a while. So you just don't run. Maybe it's something other, life, a work event, adding to the family, whatever it might be. During those various seasons when running is too much, just step back. Running's not going anywhere. Races aren't going anywhere. You'll get your fitness back. Your fitness might go somewhere, but you can get it back. You can get it back. I promise you can. And sometimes, like I said, that winter is all it takes to recharge you, get you refocused, and get you back out there excited to start running again. So just that idea that seasons are an okay thing as runners was what stood out to me from this episode. But what about you? What was your takeaway? Let me know. Shoot me a tweet at DizRuns. Shoot me an email, DizRuns@gmail.com. And of course, you can head over to the show notes for this episode. Leave your thoughts and feedbacks and takeaways and whatnot there as well. DizRuns.com/611. We'll get you there. And I can't wait to hear what you have to say from this episode. Once again, 7BridgesMarathon.com is the link to the race in Chattanooga. October the 21st is the date. I'll be there. Rebecca will be there. Addison won't be there. We are on a date weekend, a little getaway weekend. But we would love to share some of our weekend with you. So if you're in the market for a fall race, haven't signed up for anything yet, come join us. It's a beautiful time of year to be in Chattanooga, like Jay talked about when I was interviewing him a couple weeks ago. Come check it out. Chattanooga, Tennessee, 7 Bridges Marathon, 7BridgesMarathon.com, and use the code DISRUNS at checkout to save yourself a little bit of money. I think it's 10% is what the discount is on either the half or the full. So come check it out. Maybe the 10K. It might work for the 10K as well. So anyway, we'll be there. Hope to see you there as well. But for now, let's go ahead and officially wrap this thing up. Pull this boat into the harbor. Thank you all for listening so much. Appreciate your time. Appreciate your attention. Appreciate all you do to support the show. And until next time, please be well. Take good care. Happy running. And we'll talk soon. Take care, guys.